Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you who have been supporting me and our new Patreon supporters. I love it. It's awesome. I'm super excited. I'm just kind of, it's a little dizzying, but it's super appreciated. Thank you guys very, very much for sharing it around on your social circles, you know, via social media or just telling people that you know about the podcast. It's been a huge boost. If you are curious about seeing anything else that I do, you can always check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. Thank you for popping in and making that more fun too. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update on how things are hopefully going to go forward when it comes to the podcast. So the regular episodes, I want to try to make sure that I get out on Wednesdays. I'm not always perfect about it, but I try to make sure they get them out by Wednesday before at least the end of the day. Hopefully, I will get my crap together and I will actually start producing them fully on Tuesdays and then having them ready to just drop on Wednesday. But it's still a work in progress, so bear with me. However, the Patreon episodes will be twice a month, and those will come out on Sundays. So I have plenty of time to record those throughout the week and plenty of time to answer your questions, to pull in, you know, any other comments or ideas that you guys want to share with me. Maybe you've got a cool television show you think I should check out. Maybe it's a book or a movie or an artist that you'd like to recommend. Maybe you'd like to tell me about a thing that you're doing and we could talk about it. Who knows? I'm definitely going to be keeping the Q&A episodes available for our patrons. And I love that. That's one of my favorite things to be able to do. The first one was so exciting that I wanted to actually do two more. I didn't have enough questions. I could have just kept talking for an entire hour. So thank you for that. That was wonderful. Supplemental episodes, if they're available, if I have some content that doesn't quite fit the podcast, and I want to just kind of maybe drill down on a topic or something in particular, those will be most likely on Saturdays. And I'm trying to decide if I want to actually record them on Saturdays and release them on Sundays or just have them released on Saturdays. But they'll be infrequent, so I would say keep an eye out for them, but don't expect them to be a regular thing. As always, thank you for the ratings, the subscriptions, everybody who's decided to, hey, hit that little button on their podcast app so they can get the podcast delivered as soon as it comes out. I really appreciate it. It is working. It's really making an impact. I've noticed more than a few people who have said like, oh, I somebody so-and-so told me about your podcast. Or, you know, the other day somebody was like, I was at a party for my buddy and he was having like a little Halloween get together. And one of the guys was like, yeah, he's like, you like podcasts? Here's my guy. I've known him for years. He's doing this new podcast right now. You should talk to him. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, okay. Grab a sip of water here. So it is working and it really does help and it makes a huge impact. So I just want to say I appreciate that from everyone out there who's been doing it and showing their support in whatever way they feel is most feasible for them. That means a lot. Let's get into some topics, because what would this be without some kind of opinionated commentary, right? What would this be indeed? There's a lot of stuff to talk about, actually. One of the coolest things, which is actually me being facetious here because it's absolutely not cool, the United States finally has a new Speaker of the House. Mike Johnson, a.k.a. Mike Milquetoast Johnson. I'm going to start calling him that. That is like the whitest name in the world. I'm not trying to be rude or mean, but that is a very, even white people are like, that's a very white person name. Good for you, though. Congratulations on being elected to one of the worst jobs in the United States. And he's just already, it seems like he's really trying to toe that good old party line. He tossed out a foreign aid package that was slated for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. There was approximately $100 billion, I believe, earmarked for this deal. But they did keep in the $14.3 billion of Israeli aid if Biden agrees to cut funding to the IRS, in particular, to the portion of their agency that works on catching tax criminals. So let me get this straight. We're going to support yet another military effort, and we're cool with that. And then also, we want to make sure that white collar criminals can stay out of jail. Yeah, this country's going to hell. It's so bad. But it's business as usual. I mean, I guess that's one way of saying that, you know, the country's back to work again, which means it's completely broken. But you know what? The one thing that really bugged me about this whole election for Mike Johnson was there's another Democrat who is in the running for House Speaker who actually got more votes than Johnson the first time around. He had 217 votes, but because he didn't have a majority, he lost. And I always think that this is one of the dumbest ways to run a system. Whoever gets the most votes wins. Sucks. You win by 2 votes, guess what? You fucking won. And this plurality versus majority bullshit is really tearing apart. Well, it's tearing apart. We've seen what it's done to Congress. But it tears apart a lot of other things, too. It's a similar kind of concept behind our Electoral College, which is ultimately utterly broken. Absolutely useless system. And it doesn't represent the people effectively or fairly, in my personal opinion. And I know that I'm not alone. I've heard more than a few people, not just personally, you know, in my immediate circle, but I've heard other pundits and, you know, professors and other people who just, you know, work in and around the political process saying like the Electoral College is broken. It needs to be revamped or abolished. We need to move to a different type of electoral system. And I think that the more you look at it, the more you go, oh, it's no fucking wonder so many people feel disillusioned with the idea of voting. They don't feel that the process adequately represents them, and to a large degree, it doesn't. Doesn't mean you should not vote. You should absolutely try. And I think that that's a very important thing that people don't take into account, is if you make no effort, you get no response, right? The idea being, if I sat a rock on your chest, like just grabbed like a 80-pound boulder and sat it on your chest, and all you did was complain about the fact that the boulder was on your chest, but you never tried to like, I don't know, move it, roll to the side, maybe do a sit-up, kick it, push it, spit on it, something. You can only just complain, but no one gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like, you could affect some kind of change here, but you've done nothing. And that's what I feel it's like when people don't vote and they choose not to use their vote. It's you've effectively done nothing to improve or worsen your situation. And I can't respect either. I can look at somebody who did something and it didn't work out and go, ooh, oh boy, that sucks. At least you tried. But if you make no effort, I don't want to hear your shit. And it drives me fucking nuts. But that's part of the reason that people feel that way, is because they look at this system and how broken and backwards it is and go, we know it's not designed for us. But I mean, I figure if we fight within the system, we can get to a point where we're able to affect that change, you know? Like, we should absolutely have term limits on people who are elected to Congress. There's no reason that a Supreme Court appointment should be a lifetime seat. Have you seen some of those people? Some of those people were still like, I don't want to seem indelicate, but some of those people were my age when people were still running elevators. When there's a guy standing in there pushing the button to let you get to and up and down the floors. How should they, why should they have any say in the lives of people who are going to be here for 30, 40, 50 more years after they're dead and gone? It makes no sense. But this is the system that we're dealing with. And so looking back at this whole process, and this, basically it's been a circus with the election of the House Speaker, I don't really get how anybody can think for even a moment that we have the best country in the world. I know that there's worse countries, and I know that there are better countries, but to this America first, we're the best bullshit needs to stop. We need to be honest with ourselves and realize that as a country, we made a lot of mistakes and we have a long way to go. We're also one of the youngest nations on the planet, so maybe a little fucking humility, right? Anyway, that was my little rant about politics and this whole spectacle with the House Speaker elections, and just watching the partisan stuff back and forth has been tiring and upsetting. And the news around it is kind of awful. And the news around the town is kind of awful. In fact, just this past weekend, in Ybor City, Tampa, a young man named Tyrell Stephen Phillips, age 22, has been charged in a shooting that happened there, where 2 people were killed and 18 people were injured. 18 people.
Okay.
I just want you to kind of like soak that in. There was a fight in like a after Halloween party, a little bit of, you know, back and forth. Nobody's actually been able to cite exactly what kicked it off, but eventually this dude started shooting, killed a 14-year-old. One of the two dead, and then of course here comes the mayor. You know, Jane Castor, mayor of Tampa, goes to Twitter, currently called X, saying that bad decision. This is a quote, right? This is a direct quote from her her tweet. Bad decisions made in a split second, and the proliferation. God, why am I struggling with that word? The proliferation of readily available guns are responsible for these almost daily incidents. We can affect one half of this equation. You're right. We can affect the part where people don't have to make dumb decisions. You're never going to get rid of guns. I'm sorry. Forever is out there listening. It's just not going to happen. Not in this country. The people who have them want them and will do anything to keep them. And the people who make the laws that would change the facts that, you know, that of like their ownership, there's way too much money invested in that political process to stop it. It's never, just give up the idea that you're ever going to get rid of all the guns. It won't happen. And to be quite honest, if you trust in the government that much that you're willing to give up all of your guns, you have not been paying attention to the world at large. It's not always sunshine and roses when that happens. And especially if you see things trending toward the way they've been the last, I don't know, 8, 10, 15 years in this country, I can't wait to have my own gun. Not that I'm necessarily fearful, but I don't want to be caught slipping. You know what I mean? The last thing I want is to be, when the things do kick off, I don't want to be the one ass out and wondering what happened. All right. That might have been a lot, but, you know, here it is, the first day of November. We're going into the holiday season. I want to be sunshine and, you know, cheerful and all the holiday trimmings. And I'm just looking at the news. I'm like, I hate it here. I hate it so much. Just because it's the usual politest that comes out of anybody's mouth when it comes to the whole idea of guns. It's never a conversation about like a reasonable. I think that this is also the biggest sticking point when it comes to either Democrats or liberals or people who are just neither one way or the other, but just are anti-gun. The biggest problem is that they go straight to the very far end. Get rid of all the guns. Get rid of them all. They're all terrible. I don't know. I've had guns in my presence before. I've never seen one jump up and shoot somebody yet. Everything is predicated upon the person who's carrying it. And to that end, there are things that we can do that are common sense. We can have like mandatory, like if you don't do this, you can spend days in jail. Mental health check-ins, you know, proficiency exams. You can have you could have an actual nationwide database to register firearms. I think that reasonable, logical gun owners would be like, I'm okay with this if it means I can keep my stuff and it keeps it out of the hands of the guy down the street who's sitting there huffing meth out of a gas can. You know what I mean? Like when you look at these people who are in these mass shootings, there's another component that we're missing. One, criminals don't follow the law. So you can make more laws all you want. You're just making it harder for decent citizens who would actually like to own a firearm or who would benefit from the protection of having one. You make it harder for them to get it. The criminals don't give a shit. I mean, you can make all the, you know, bump stops, you know, extended magazines are illegal, no suppressors or silencers. You can say all that shit and criminals don't give a shit. They're going to still get them. They're going to find a way to get them. Shit, they'll make them. So it's like, you're making the laws for no one unless it's just yourself and to make yourself feel good after a shooting like this happens. I think if we focus more on actual job creation, not just saying we have jobs because we fired people and now there are available job openings that we're never going to hire people for. How about we create some actual, you know, jobs, invest more in our schools and our teachers? How about we invest more in mental health or, you know, this is going to be a wild one here. Maybe state funded or federally funded healthcare. We pay so much money in fucking taxes. Why can't we throw a little bit of it towards, hey, you know, Jimmy's been having some really, you know, wild ideas and thoughts and stuff like that. Maybe we should get him into a mental health institution and get that boy some help. Let somebody, you know, dig around his noodle and figure out what's going on, making the kid tick. People need hope. They don't need more rules. Criminals aren't going to follow them, and good people are already tired of being beaten down by them. It's time to make an actual appreciable change. I think that that's really what I'm saying here. So anyway, we're going to switch on gears over here. We're going to actually pop over to the gridiron gripe section because football. And I am very, very thirsty. Yeah, gridiron gripes. So Jacksonville, the Jaguars, and the Pittsburgh Steelers went head-to-head this past week. And man, was that a good game. That was a really good game. I kind of had a feeling going into this week that the Jag-Steelers game was going to be a battle. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see the Jaguars didn't give up, stuck to their guns, and they held the Steelers. I mean, their defense was working overtime to keep the Steelers at bay, and they were pretty close to pulling a shutout, but I think it just a couple of penalties and, you know, just a couple just real weird, like not injuries, but just like somebody gets bumped or hurt or shoved some way, kind of took a little bit of their rhythm away, and it opened the door for the Steelers to get their 10 points, but Jacksonville still pulled out a win. Congrats to the Cats. Jacksonville 20, Pittsburgh Steelers 10. I didn't really expect a third quarter rally from the Steelers, but I was really surprised to see Jacksonville have a strong finish. Tough break for you Steelers fans out there. I mean, you get another bite at the apple another time, but just that day just wasn't your day. It's okay. It happens to all of us. Speaking of, here comes Chicago, not to be outdone in the boo-boo to fool department. Just, they do it again, man. They did it again. They managed to ruin a really good start and a decent pace and just toss the game right into the hands of the Chargers. LA didn't look that great. Chicago just looked that bad. Let's just be honest. Chicago finds a way to defeat themselves almost every turn. I seriously, I'm kind of wondering if like maybe the fix wasn't in. Like I have a little conspiracy theory that maybe some of the players got in deep, you know, being out on the West Coast. You're like, you know, maybe we'll, you know, fart around and we'll just short drive down to Vegas. Let's get some money on the table. Got caught up and then got into some last Boy Scout kind of shit. Like, you know, they're throwing the games because they have debts on the books. And somebody's like, yeah, if you don't throw this game, we're going to throw your kid off a cliff. They're like, all right, never mind. We've got to score a couple points so it looks like we're doing something. I'm like, yeah, but you don't score fucking 13 in the first quarter and then nothing for the rest of the game. The fuck is wrong with you guys? I'm seriously wondering if there wasn't like somebody with an insane amount of debt on the table and was just like, if we don't throw this game, they're going to start breaking fingers. All right, damn. I don't get it. I don't know how they manage to do this every single damn week. It just drives me fucking crazy. It's really hard to be a Chicago Bears fan. I tell people all the time, it's the most thankless job in the NFL is being a Chicago Bears fan. Screw being a water boy. Being a Chicago Bears fan is the worst job in the NFL. It really feels like a fucking full-time job. I wish I could say it didn't, but it does. It's going to be a rough one, though. It's going to be a rough one, see? I don't know. What are you going to do? I mean, can't cry over spilt milk. It's already done. But let's just hope that maybe sometime before the end of the season, Chicago sees fit to win, I don't know, 2 games? Are they trying to get all the first-round draft picks this year? I mean, it seems like a losing battle at this point. Like, who would want to go to Chicago? You'd get picked by Chicago only to get traded. Either that or you'd be praying that somebody would throw you an offer before Chicago could make their first pick. Because I wouldn't want to. Just to know you're going to a team that's going to get destroyed. It was kind of interesting. Like, I've seen a lot of former Chicago and former Jacksonville quarterbacks pop up on other teams. Quarterbacks in particular, but other, you know, players as well. And watching them thrive is like, oh my God, you've gone somewhere else and now you're doing wonderful. That's great. I'm so happy for you. It feels bad to actually be happy for someone to leave your team. Like, I can't wait for you to leave here. You know what I mean? It's like watching an abusive relationship in a way. Like, I can't, I just wish that, you know, I wish that Karen would just get up and take the kids and just drive. And then when Karen finally does it, you're like, fuck yeah. Good for you. It feels like that, except you're the one that you're the one in the relationship that's left behind. It's like, oh my God, I'm the bad relationship because I love this team. I just wish you would go somewhere else and be happy. I wish you nothing but joy. Oh, it's a nightmare. Anyway, okay, let's see what we got going as far as picks for this week. Jacksonville, bless them. The Cats deserve a bye week. Get some rest. You're going to have a pretty stacked schedule, it looks like, coming up. So good luck to you guys. Enjoy the week off. Chicago versus New Orleans. I'm picking the Saints. I can't put my money behind Chicago. Sorry. There's just no reason to even think that they're going to win. Pittsburgh versus Tennessee. Now, the only reason I'm picking this one the way I'm picking it is just because I believe that Pittsburgh hasn't shown us who they really want to be this year as a team. Like, they haven't really carved out much of an actual identity anymore. I think they really, they have flash in the pan moments, but I don't think there's enough consistency to call them truly brilliant. So my pick is actually going for the Tennessee Titans. I don't think that they're necessarily a better team overall. I mean, they might have a couple more wins in their pockets, but the truth is, I just think that Pittsburgh is still struggling. It's like a little bit of an identity crisis on this, on the behalf of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who knows? I could be wrong, but I mean, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I'm really bad at picking games lately, which is funny. For as much football as I watch, you'd think I'd be better at this shit, but I'm not. And this is one reason why I don't gamble, because I would lose my shirt. The only thing I was ever good at was penny slots, and then too bad they don't let you do those, you know, for football. Any hoodles. On to some other gaming news, because this is the topic of the week. Oh my God, so many people that I know, and some of you may also know, that aside from doing gaming, you know, podcasting, I also do gaming on Twitch. And one of the things that I've loved and I'm very proud of is the community I built up with Agents of Shadow, which is our Destiny 2 clan, where we get together, we help each other with certain activities, you know, we talk, you know, just talk shit, share memes, recipes, all that stuff. So that's our Discord channel. And we were talking about it, and the news came over the wire that Bungie, or Bungo, as they're more commonly known around our circles, did a Dumbo move. And okay, I'm going to preface everything I'm about to say by saying a couple of things. One, I absolutely enjoy Destiny as a game. I enjoy the community that I've found there. I enjoy the friendships I've made through the game. I've enjoyed the content that I've played. While some of it hasn't been exceptional, I've enjoyed my time there. Overall, the game's, you know, the game's core concepts and conventions work great. And I thoroughly respect the people who work on and develop games. I know it's not an easy job. I know it's incredibly difficult and requires a high level of skill. I'm very impressed by it, and I want to be a part of that world for real. I really do want to develop games. Also, what I'm about to say is in no way, shape, or form directed at or towards, as far as the more negative things I'm about to say, it's not directed at the people who made the game. I think it's really a failure of management and imagination, what's happened with Destiny and with Bungie in particular. But Bungie's been making really shitty decisions for a very long time, and I think it's finally catching up to them. Now, here we go. Bungie this week laid off nearly 100 people, including their fan favorite composer Michael Salvatore, citing that there is a 45% revenue drop since the Lightfall release, Lightfall being the most recent DLC outside of the Witch Queen, which is the new current season. Yeah, the Lightfall campaign did not win anybody, didn't win Bungie a lot of new fans. They were also saying that player retention was down. People got into Lightfall, felt like it was a mess, left, and haven't come back. The Witch Queen, although I do agree that the Witch Queen is a far superior storyline to Lightfall, it's not enough. And Bungie hasn't done enough to engender enough player confidence over the years. And it's really the fault of the guys on top. The worker bees who are making the game, they've done a great job. But the way that the story's been planned out and released, the continuity of the gameplay, the pacing, the loot mechanics, just so many broken pieces are kind of thrown together in a pot and stirred around in an attempt to make a soup out of it. And what you've got is just a real shit stew. It's not great. And it's bad because it feels bad as a player because you feel like you're not being listened and that the money that you've invested into this game over the years is being disrespected. Or somebody's out there spending it on coke and hookers or wiping their ass with it because where is the money going? I know people who had pre-ordered the final shape, which is the upcoming supposedly like swan song for Destiny. I think this might actually be it, honestly, but that's just me. The final shape has been delayed from February to June 2024. And I know people who put a lot of money hoping that they would get that pre-order bonus and everything, super excited for it. And now they're like, screw this. The way the state of the game is right now, I don't trust that it'll be worth my money. And they're pulling their pre-orders. And they've really got only themselves to blame as far as management's concerned. And I feel bad that some people who work on games are forced to do things that are either they know they are going to be broken or they know they're going to be shitty and fans aren't going to like them, but they got to keep a job. So they kind of get held at gunpoint to do certain things. And one of the things I'm talking about is actually the most recent event that happens. It's a Halloween event. They do like themed events every, holiday and whatnot, and a couple other random themed events too. This one is their Festival of the Lost. It's kind of like Dia de los Muertos for the video game world, right? You wear these masks, you collect candy, you collect these pages for this book, all right? And you do certain activities to upgrade items and stuff. It's a thing. You can check it out. There's probably tons of YouTube videos you can watch to explain the entire thing. However, one element of this is collecting spectral pages to then complete another activity which morphs the pages into another item. Excuse me. I had capped out by getting 75 of them and didn't realize it. I thought I had some running room, and it's like, oh no, I have 75. I can't carry any more. And I was trying to proceed and go to the next event, which lets you what they call manifest the pages, converts this, the page conversion thing. So I was getting ready to do that event, and it tells me I can't do it because I haven't opened this quest log. Okay, go to the quest giver, find out, oh, she's got more spectral pages for me. 3 as it stands. I'm like, okay, well, let me get rid of some of these. I can't just delete 1. I can't delete a stack of 5 or 10. I have to delete all 75. I want you to hear this again. I had to delete all 75 of the ones that I had to pick up 3. And I've never thrown a controller in my life. But I sincerely debated sending this one into the stratosphere. That's a maddening, stupid, broken piece of the game. That shouldn't happen. It's one of those things where, like, I feel like somebody was like rushed through to do a thing. They got there and then they look back and like, well, that's going to be a problem, but that's a problem for future developer guy. And they just left it. Broken systems like this are also to blame. When your game does dumb shit all the time and makes unintuitive choices and drives the player to the point of frustration, then they leave. I remember when I first started hearing about Destiny 2, I had played Destiny 1 and I loved it and enjoyed it. And then Destiny 2 was on the line. I'm like, I don't like the way this sounds. I don't like the way that they're setting it up as a live service game. I mean, it's a thing that I know is happening and it's a part of the industry, but it's sucking more money out of the players and it's not giving enough back in return. And now I feel like since I've been playing it, I've enjoyed the company. I've enjoyed the good times and laughs that I've had. I've enjoyed the story moments that made me laugh and cry and scream and rage at the TV because of what's happening in the game. But I feel like it's not enough anymore. It's not enough for Destiny 2 to just Have those, again, like I've mentioned before, flashes in the pan, like those little flashes of brilliance that are wonderful. It's not enough. And it's a very meat and potatoes, the very meat and potatoes of the game is actually really good, but it's not enough. You know, it's not enough to keep people satiated. It's not enough to keep them coming back. And they really only have themselves to blame. I would say this, if there are any former Bungie devs out there who somehow managed to get a hold of this podcast, I was talking it over with the Agents of Shadow crew. We kind of cooked up a really interesting idea for a video game. I know I've had various ideas over the years. I tried to sell one of them as a pitch, basically, years and years ago to Remedy Entertainment. Was it Remedy? Maybe not Remedy, but I think it started with an R. I'm trying to remember who it was now. But it was years ago. I pitched an idea and I never heard back from them. Then something very similar came out like about 4 or 5 years later. I was like, huh. So instead of me just telling you my super dope idea, I'll hit me up. If anybody hears this podcast and knows somebody who works in gaming or knows somebody who's adjacent to Bungie, especially their recently unemployed staff, I'd like to talk to them. I've said this to the guys in Agents of Shadow Discord. I would love to see those people come together and find like an angel investor, or maybe take some of whatever, you know, stock options or savings they had put together and like build their own little, you know, development collective. I'd love to see what it's like when it's a creator driven entity, as opposed to how corporate Bungie had become. Bungie had lost its way a long, long time ago, and it's just taken other people, I guess, this long to finally see it. But I remember seeing it when I watched just the way that they didn't give a shit about their player base when it came to, you know, the Xbox community that helped build them, made Halo amazing, a huge, incredible success for them. And then they went on to make Destiny, and then they turned their backs on the community. When they thought they were snubbing Xbox, they thought they were snubbing Microsoft and the Xbox team. What they really did was they turned their back on the people who actually made them. And they went to Sony time and time again for those big bags of cash. Where the fuck's the money in? Where's the game? Where's the content that people paid hundreds of dollars for over the last few years? What happened? I know that there's an answer. I don't know that we're going to hear it. But I'd love to be able to talk to some of those folks who are closer to it, because I know that they couldn't have possibly woken up that day and wanted this to happen. That no one would have thought like, hey, you know what? Sounds like a perfect day to get shit canned. I guarantee you not one of them thought that. But there has to be somebody who has some idea of what it is that's torn Bungie apart so much that they're coming to this pass. I'm sure Sony's not thrilled about this development. They're not thrilled about the final shape being delayed 6 months almost. Well, being June, yeah, 4 months. And I'm certain they're really not happy about Marathon being pushed back to the end of the year, especially since that was supposed to be their, maybe like their similar Battle Royale, like answer to Fortnite kind of game. I'm pretty sure they're pissed. But anyway, if any of those wonderful people out there who worked for Bungie hear this, just know that my heart goes out to you. I know you've tried your best to make the game as good as you can. I know there are decisions that are far beyond my understanding and maybe even your own that railroaded you into the position that you're in today. My heart goes out to you. If I had something for you, I would. I mean, if there's any way we get together and talk some games, I'd love to. I mean, I've got ideas, and hopefully, you know, maybe somebody be willing to listen to them. You never know. Maybe we could make some magic. Might be cool. Yeah, but good luck. And I'm done with Bungie, really. I mean, I'm not giving them another cent. I'm not paying for the final shape. And as much as I hate to say this, because I know some, again, very talented and wonderful people have worked on this game and have made it wonderful for me and my friends for years. I kind of hope it fails for them. Because it's time for them to get taken down a couple of pegs, because they've lost their way. They've forgotten, you know, that the players make the game. You know what I mean? That we make the game. If we don't buy it and we don't play it, you don't get paid. Plain and simple. and reaching further into our pockets and then not bringing us something. If you're going to reach that deep in my pockets, you need to be giving me a little bit of a tug, if you know what I mean. Something better come from it. But that's just the thing. No one really thinks like that. And then when it comes down to voting with your wallet, because gamers can be such capricious people, and I'm no exception, I've fallen victim to it too. As soon as they see the new shiny, they go for it. And I'm really hoping that if people decide to actually hashtag boycott Bungie, that it actually does work. And that Bungie, the pressure of the wallet screeching in on them is going to go like, hey, we can't afford to not listen to our players anymore. We've got to make some changes. And we got to start doing better by our devs. The way they did these people was fucking horrible. And just basically broke up with them via text. No idea this was coming. They just get sideswiped and tossed out. I'd be furious. I actually have been there. So I know exactly how it feels. I cussed the manager out when I got fired. I was like, what the fuck did you? Why, you could have called me. You made me spend my time and my money to come all the way here just to tell me I don't have a job. Fuck you. I drive him all the way from the other side, west side of Chicago to downtown for you to say like, well, we're not going to be needing you anymore. Like, bitch, you could have called me. That's fucking, that's horrible. Just the sheer audacity that it takes to do that. And then just, it's so dismissive. Ugh, it's despicable. I wish nothing for the best for the folks who lost their jobs. And I hope that things turn around for you very quickly and that you all find wonderful, wonderful places to create and to continue practicing your craft, because I do believe that you deserve it. And yeah, my heart breaks for you, but I believe that you'll be able to bounce back. And if nothing else, man, maybe I get a hold of one of you guys. We could talk it out in an interview. I'd love that. Moving on, let's talk about some social stuff. Oh boy. All right. So some of you might not know this. Some of you might. I have some food insensitivities. Insensitivities. I have some food sensitivities. One, gluten, big problem. The other one, lactose, huge problem. A lot of people are lactose intolerant, mainly because, they say humans weren't designed to drink other animals' milk. Sure, cheese is awesome though, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing like a big juicy cheeseburger on a summer day after a cookout. Right during a cookout, I mean. And then a bowl of ice cream afterwards. Oh, delicious. But it'll give you the boom boom pals. You'll be sitting on the toilet for the next 35 years. Shit sucks. And I used to love pastry. Even though I didn't eat many of them, the ones I would eat, I would love that. I mean, I love tasting different breads, crostinis, brioche buns. King's Hawaiian used to be my favorite thing in the world. When I was in college, I would eat like a dozen donuts every day from Dunkin' Donuts before work. I used to love that kind of shit. Now, if I smell enough wheat flour, I'll probably explode. And it sucks. But here's the thing. It makes it tough for me to go out to eat with people or to go places in general, because everything's got one of the two in it, it seems like. I'm not saying that people have to live a gluten-free lifestyle. Obviously, if you can eat it, do your thing. I'm not going to knock you for that shit. But can we make a little room for the rest of us, Like, gluten-free food is so fucking expensive. It's insane. It's just to be able to have something that won't make my intestines crumble and die. It's a bank breaker. And it's also incredibly hard to find. When you find it in a place, you expect it to constantly be there. When it doesn't show up one week, you're pissed. I think it's really interesting to look at, we've got flour on everything. I mean, I went to go order fries the other day, and I have to ask people every time, are your fries floured? And some people are like, yeah. I'm like, why? It's already a potato. Why does it need more starch? How fat do we have to be? Fucking stop putting flour on the fries. I just want to be able to eat some fries. Usually it's the one safe thing I know at any restaurant. But then the other problem is that everything's all fried in the same grease anyway, so it doesn't really fucking matter. So I can have the clean, unfloured fries, but if you stick it in the vat with all the other fried chicken, fried fish, and other fried stuff, guess what? All that flour is still in there, and it's baking into my potatoes. Oh my God, just use a separate one. And it also ruins the flavor when you just fry everything in the same grease over and over again. That's just me bitching, though, because I'm so sick of not being able to eat normal food. I mean, it's not my fault that our food is technically poisoned and we've been slowly killing ourselves for years and years and years because of pesticides and, you know, genetically modified foods, you know what I mean? You know, we need to make this strain of wheat last through, you know, these winter months and resist these pests, and it will shred the intestines of every child who eats it. Great. But what are you going to do? I really don't get like why it has to be so expensive to eat gluten-free, and also why it seems like as prevalent as this issue is in American dining culture, the simple fact that a lot of restaurateurs don't even think about it, it's not even a consideration. You're seeing it more in certain areas where people are a little bit more progressively minded and be like, yeah, we should probably keep an eye out for people with allergens and stuff. But by and large, a lot of companies don't give a shit. It makes me sad because I would like to go out to eat again. I like to go out to eat. It makes me happy. Talk about some little things too. Like just, it's a kind of like the whole idea of, would it fucking kill you? You know, little stuff. It's the weird thing about it is the grander social and economic and political injustices of the world, I don't have much of a problem wrapping my head around. You know what I mean? I know that there's certain things that are beyond my control, or there's certain things that are beyond any of our control. But the things that you can do that you don't drive me fucking batty. Dude, it's so simple. Going to the grocery store the other day, trying to pull into the spot. Somebody left the cart in the middle of the fucking spot. Dude, there's a whole lane, basically, or a whole parking spot that's been converted into a caddy for these carts. It's not even 15 feet from where the cart was sitting. You did that on purpose. That is a sign of a shitty person. Put the fucking cart back. It doesn't take forever. You don't even have to walk it all the way back to the store. You could just put it in that little corral there, and they pay somebody to come out there and pick them up. You could just put it there, though. And that not doing that drives me batty. Because the real look behind this is when you don't do something that's so simple and it doesn't take any extra effort for you necessarily. You know what I mean? It's not like you have to lift the cart and put it in there. You just push it 10 feet, 15 feet down the road, and then boom, you're done. If you can't make the time and effort to do something so simple, it's like a big fuck you, it's not my job, to the next person, whomever that happens to be. I just find that like people being just wildly inconsiderate, because it's not like it's a really outlandish thing, but this is how wild it is to be that inconsiderate. It really doesn't take any extra effort. Maybe a little bit of extra calories get burned. Maybe a walk an additional 30 seconds, 60 seconds out of your day. Okay. But that tiny little bit of effort, you can't even do that. It's just like, fuck you, it's not my job kind of thing. That thing, that attitude drives me fucking crazy. It's like, you know, when somebody, it happens in your house, it happens at your relative's house or a friend's house or whatever. Somebody will go and use the bathroom. I actually saw it just recently. I was out with some friends and I went to go to the restroom, and I walked in there. I'm like, there's a whole ass roll of toilet paper right here. And nobody bothered to even put it on. It's right there. You know, I'm like, why wouldn't you? What is this attitude that like, fuck you, I'm not doing it. It's so horribly disrespectful. It just feels like somebody's like, you, it's your turn, slave. Like it feels like weaponized incompetence is the term for it. It's when you do something badly enough that the other person comes along and does it. What does Bill Burr say? He's like, there's always the one person in the relationship who washes the dishes and the other one who lets them soak. And I was laughing my ass off about that. But I mean, he's got a point. There are some people in relationships where they will intentionally not do something or do something poorly so that the other partner will do it and they don't have to be bothered with it. And to me, that's one of those things where like, when I see that, it feels like disrespect and I take it as disrespect and it makes me want to leave. Like, I didn't want to be where we were. I was at my friend's house, and it was like, that happened once. And I was like, I don't, just because this is how you conduct yourself, I don't want to be here. I love you, but I can't. I've been to restaurants and stuff like that, where it's like the very tiny little bit of effort that it would take to make this a decent experience, you won't bother, I'm out. I mean, God forbid it happens to you in like, you know, if you're a roommate, you're in a relationship, you're married, you're, you know, dating or whatever, and that happens and you just like, fuck this, I can't. Like, I just leave. That's fucking terrible. And that's the thing I read, and I was reading about weaponized incompetence and how, what was it? The way that they put it was like the guy won't do the dishes or he'll do a bad job. So then the wife comes along to do them. And I'm like, that shit goes both ways, bro. Like the biggest problem I saw was like the women were like, yeah, girl. Okay. Shoo. He don't do nothing. I'm like, listen, some of you could be some real heifers too out there. It's not all men are bad. You know, it's not all men. Yeah. Well, not all dudes are like that. And not all women are just saints elevated above everybody else. Everybody has a propensity and the ability to be a shitty person. Here's the thing. Don't. The very little bit of effort that it takes to be a mildly decent person is worth it every time. Trust me. Just trust me. Make a little bit of a fucking effort. And I think that another thing too is like, you know, as much as I love technology, I think technology is kind of made us lazy and dull. You know, when we have these boxes and panels and devices that can think and do and move and be for us, we forget how to do that. You know, like we forget that, you know, we used to have to live in a cave and somebody had to make sure the fire stayed on all night long, or else, you know, the tigers were going to come in and eat our faces in their sleep. We don't have any natural predators anymore. We don't have any great causes. We don't have any great... Our wars are fought with touches of buttons. You know, I mean, I do get that there are actual people on the ground, but you know what I'm saying? Like, most of our lives are automated. And so by that rationale, I think a lot of people feel like, well, all this other stuff should be. And they take it for granted that a thing happened, but, you know, somebody somehow had to enact that. You know, they had to make that change. They had to make that thing happen. And when it's not done, they just kind of go, well, fuck it. Leave it there until it does. And I think that, you know, if we unplugged a little bit more, I mean, I get that I'm not saying you should be living in the woods, you know what I mean? Shaving your legs with a rock. Have your fun. But every now and again, put the fucking phone down, turn off the game, turn off the TV, shit, turn off this podcast if you need to. Just go somewhere and relax, unplug, be around people, talk to one another. Put your phones down and actually look at the faces of the people who came to see you. Interact with one another. It's not going to kill you. If anything, it'll probably help you in your daily life, because interpersonal skills have become sorely lacking because we have such an expansive array of technology. And we have so much technology that we are better able to not talk to anybody at all, ever. I know so many people who take pride in that. I won't answer a phone call. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like, I don't think that's going to work so great when the zombies come, dude. You might want to develop some social skills and figure your shit out. I get anxiety. I feel you. I've been there. I've done that too. But at a certain point, you got to learn how to be a fucking person. And you're not going to learn that, you know, staring into your iPad. You're only going to learn that by interacting with some people. You know, I mean, I get it. I'm telling you actively right now to turn off this podcast that I'm making and go and interact with people. But that's because I'm going to do the exact same thing too. I'm going to take some time to be around my friends and family. I love that more than anything. The one thing that drives me crazier, nothing drives me crazier than being around a group of 5, 6, 7, 8 people and seeing like more than half of them on their phones. I'm like, I'm sorry. Did your iPhone travel to come here to see you? No, I did. Put the fucking phone down and pay attention. Act like a human being. It's not going to kill you. It will make you a better person. I promise. You might learn some things about yourself and about the people around you too if you do that. That's how human interaction works. But please still listen to my podcast and share it with people. Well, your boy's been on a tear. And this one's clocking in a little bit longer than usual. But I wanted to say thank you very much again from the bottom of my heart to everybody who's been listening, everybody who's been sharing the podcast. Thank you to the wonderful Patreon supporters. My patrons are awesome, and I can't wait to do another episode with you. So if you want to support me on Patreon, feel free to stop by patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and for just $5 a month. Let's say less than the price of, you know, let's see, what's another thing? Another food item. People like, less than the cost of a meal at KFC. I know some people out there like fried chicken. For less than a, you know, 3-piece at KFC, you can support a creative like myself, namely myself. So stop over patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Feel free to pop in, check out the current episode that's up there once you've had your chance to subscribe. And, you know, I appreciate it. Also, you could check me out on twitch.tv/linkib. I'm actually running late for my stream today so I could record this because I got behind on everything. I was having a good day. I was feeling myself. And then now I'm good. Back to twitch.tv/linkib. You can check me out over there, or you can stop by streamlabs.com/merch/linkib. Excuse me. I always goof that one, and I meant to check it last time, and I forgot. streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. There we go. I'm going to learn my own URL one day. But yeah, if you want to get like some Wandering One Studios, like we got some designs of the logo there. I'm going to work on some new stuff over the next month or so. As we go into the holidays, things tend to slow down a little bit with streaming, so I might pick up a little bit more artwork, which is definitely what I want to do. I need to get back into it. So hopefully we'll have some really cool designs, maybe some funky t-shirts and stuff like that. Maybe I'll even get around to getting this website done too, so we can have a one centralized location to get a hold of everything. As always, thank you guys for Audio Boom. You know, appreciate them for hosting and sharing this thing. And yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode. A little rambly, a little bit verbose, but we got it done. All right, you kids be good or be good at it. Make sure you drink some water today. Don't pick your nose where people can see you. And yeah, I'll catch up with you guys a little further on down the road. See you later.